Perry Wilson is a longtime local hockey goalie coach and Ironman competitor. Join me, Drake DeMore, as I talk to Perry about his life and career from Halifax to Windsor, coaching men's and women's goaltenders, personal training athletes, and finally landing his most desired job as the head goalie coach of the Windsor Spitfires.
Hello, how you doing? It's Zach Caskey.
Adam Henrique.
Joe Siddle. Tom Crawford.
Todd Warner.
Brett Romberg.
TJ Laramie.
And holy mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast. You can catch the radio show every Thursday on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit, and on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. for our replay slot. But you can catch every single episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, of course, wherever you're listening to it right now. But you can directly go to windcitysports.com or search us up on any podcast platform, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We also have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Find us, give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. And if you're trying to find us, our handle is at WinCity_sports. WinCity is all one word if you're ever having trouble finding the pod or our social media. Again, my name is Drake DeMore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the WinCity Sports Podcast. It is episode 178. Today is Thursday, January 16th, 2020. Still not used to saying that. And this week on Wind City Sports, we're talking to a very interesting individual, someone that I had meaning to reach out to for quite some time now. As you may have noticed, a few years ago, he was brought on as the head goalie coach for the Windsor Spitfires, Mr. Perry Wilson. That's when I kind of discovered him and got to know a little bit about him just from Googling stuff about him. And I got to find out a lot about his credentials, I guess. He's been around here in Windsor and has coached our Lancers teams, men's and women's. He's coached various specific goaltenders in the community, and of course finally landing with the Windsor Spitfires, as he talked about, as a job that he had tried to get I want to say many times, but he had tried before, and finally landed that job that he always wanted. He's basically living the life right now, basically a retired guy coaching goalies. He's also a personal trainer, and he's a very interesting cat. He's got a lot of stuff that you would never know about him either, and you'll learn a little bit about this guy today. I had the pleasure to sit in with him at CJAM, the radio station, where we have our radio show every Thursday, as mentioned, in the studio there, and shoot the shit with him for almost 30 minutes. It was a fantastic conversation, and you guys are really going to like that. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about our Windsor Spitfires, obviously, Windsor Express, and Windsor Lancers. We're going to go through our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week in a few minutes before we roll into the interview. But the only thing on my mind right now that I kind of want to get out of the way, it doesn't really relate to what's going on in here in Windsor, but if you're a big hockey fan, you've probably seen our Windsor boy in the news lately. Zach Kassian has made headlines yet again this year. This has been a great year for him on the ice and off the ice too. This has been a fantastic year for him. And in case you missed it, he had a little run-in with Matthew Tkachuk, who has quite the reputation here in the hockey community. I guess maybe not here, but, you know, he's known to be a little bit of a pest, still a very skillful player, and comes from one of those hockey families. His dad, Keith Tkachuk, Big Walt, his brother Brady over in Ottawa. Matthew's known for getting under people's skin, and man, you poked the bear. You certainly did, and you got him good too. So basically, long story short, if you've missed it, and if you know what I'm talking about, we'll get to that in a quick second. But Matthew Tkachuk, just he had Cassian's number, some dirty hits, some dangerous hits, but part of the game, right? It got to a boiling point, I think, in the third period, after the third time Tkachuk had went after Kassian pretty specifically and kind of gave him his number. Zach Kassian told him it was time to answer the bell and gave him a little bit of a ringing. As I'm talking right now, he's probably actually sitting in Toronto for his hearing. It was scheduled for the Monday after the Saturday game. So he kind of ragdolled him, threw him a few punches, let him know this is still a man's game. So if you've seen the interviews with them, I think I kind of agree with both of them, what they're saying. I think that both of them are rational, but I'm going to side with Kassian on this one. So again, if you haven't heard what they said, basically Tkachuk said, hey, if you don't want to get hit, stay out of line. I get what you're saying. I mean, it's part of the game and stuff, but after three times, if you're going after a specific guy, especially a guy like Zach Cassian, one of the last guys in the league that will drop the gloves on any given day and then still score two goals in the game. And now, like, I guess he didn't always do that, but I mean, what do you expect? Come on. I mean, you had to expect that this guy was going to get mad and retaliate, right? So, and then what Cassian said was, why are you going to do that and not answer the bell? You know what I mean? Or no one else on the team, even better yet. So I'm so pumped to see the next game with them. But man, that just shows our Windsor toughness still out there in the NHL with Zach Cassian. As mentioned, this has been a great year for him on the ice after training at ETS here in Windsor. He's already got 13 goals, I think it's his career high, or about to tie it. And we're only about halfway through the season. And yet he can still throw him if he needs to. So I don't know. I guess my whole take on the thing is that I understand where they're both coming from, but I'm going to side on Cassian's side here, and say that was okay. I mean, it writes itself if you haven't seen it. So hopefully he doesn't get any disciplinary action because of that, and we can carry on and look forward to the next battle of Alberta. And if you missed it, as mentioned, he's right here from Windsor. Zach Cassian, he grew up in Kingsville, still lives out there in the summer, I believe, somewhere around there. He just bought a new house this year. He just has a newborn daughter and a wife. We had him on a pretty early episode. I believe it's episode 47, all the way back to the Memorial Cup in 2017. We had a brief interview with him to kind of promote the Memorial Cup, a guy who played in it, won it with Windsor. It's a brief interview. We just talk a little bit about, you know, growing up in Windsor, playing here, going off Peterborough, and then being able to come back and play for the Spitfires in a very pivotal time for him, and then running into the NHL and playing with some guys like Connor McDavid. Not a big deal, right? So all the best to Zach Cassian. Hopefully I get to chat with him again. I was hoping to link up with him at the Bob Probert ride this past summer, but I was in Italy at the time, so it didn't come to fruition. I wanted to do a pod with him and Danny at the event, but again, just didn't come to be. So hopefully we'll cross paths again in the future and just keep doing what you're doing, bro. But without further ado right now, I'm gonna transition into our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week via goallancers.ca before we get into the interview with Perry Wilson. This week from the men's volleyball team, it's Stephen Abrams, and from the track and field team, Nicole LaRue. The first year libero from Georgetown, Ontario, has been a standout performer for the Blue and Gold. Each match this season, and Saturday night at Ryerson, Stephen took his play to a whole nother level. In a match featuring an offensive duel by All-Canadians Pierce Johnson and Ryerson's Xander, I'm not even going to try his last name, it was Abrams who turned 19 earlier this week, who received much of the post-match accolades from players and coaches on both sides of the net. Stephen led the number 10 ranked Lancers with 11 digits, but it was his incredible passing versus the Rams' big spike servers that allowed the Lancers' offense to shine and sparked the dramatic 5-set comeback victory after being down 2-0. Meanwhile, Nicole, the first-year distance runner, had a great first meet with the Blue and Gold. The nursing major captured a silver medal in the women's 100-meter at the Can-Am Classic over the weekend here in Windsor at the Dennis Fairhall Fieldhouse. So congratulations to both Nicole and Stephen on becoming our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week. But now, without further ado, let's transition into that interview with Windsor Spitfires goalie coach, longtime coach here in Windsor, personal trainer, and Ironman distance competitor, Perry Wilson. Here we go. Alrighty. So I'm here at CJAM right now for a man who was born in Nova Scotia, but technically from Windsor, Ontario, known for his time as a goalie coach for the Lancers women's team, and as well as our Windsor Spitfires now, and a local personal trainer, Perry Wilson. Welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really, really excited to be on your show.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear, you know. But I want to know, again, a little bit about yourself, just kind of growing up. So you said you came here from Nova Scotia at 10, and I mean, go back as far as we can. What do you remember, about growing up?
It's a really interesting story. Yeah. As you know, I played hockey when I was a little one, you know, the little minor hockey thing. And then when I came to Ontario, it was like nobody knew who I was, and my parents didn't really know how to contact. So the hockey dream was actually over for me for a long time. And when I was older, I could get my own gear, I started playing again, and I realized I've got a real passion for this. Yeah. And I just ran with it.
Yeah.
I ran with it.
So I was going to ask if you were always like a hockey kid, or and maybe probably other sports too, being like involved in fitness and just athletics, right?
So I had a cousin that played in the CFL. I had an uncle that played in the NHL. He was the second black guy to play in the NHL, okay. Stanley Maxwell. So a lot of people don't know his story, but he was related to me, and watched him when I was a kid, and there were a lot of guys that played. And, you know, I had the passion for it, but I didn't realize it at the time. So it's pretty amazing how far it's come.
Yeah, for real. I mean, just based off of passion and kind of an interest of almost like starting recreationally, almost in a sense, right? Were you always playing goalie, or were you
always goalie? Yeah? It was just the only position I wanted to play. Like, I played out a little bit. I didn't really love it.
Yeah,
I didn't. But when I got in that, I just felt that was my home as far as hockey was concerned.
We always need goalies, so, so that is very interesting. So I guess, you know, you kind of see the passion for the sport, and is that when you want to kind of take off into anything you can do, I guess, in a business side from it? Like, did you want to start being a personal trainer and it just kind of went hand in hand, or?
Well, that was another interesting story. My mom's only brother was a bodybuilder, and I used to watch him train, and he was really interested in that. And then I really never really got into the training aspect, but I always wanted to see people get healthy. So I thought, how can I help people really get healthy? And I thought, I'll become a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I really liked it. I really liked helping people. They kind of tie together, the personal training and the goalie coaching. So a lot of my goalies I train, and then a lot of the other players that realize that, you know, this guy kind of knows what he's doing, I'm going to go with him. So I've had some success with some of the local players around here. So it's been fun to watch them grow.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into that. I mean, the guys that you've been able, and the girls, obviously, too, that you've been able to coach, and where they've gone on and stuff like that, that's obviously something that you're probably really proud of. But, like, just, I mean, kind of getting it started was very interesting to me, kind of looking at yourself. Because, again, I didn't know if you had that moment where it's like, okay, well, I'm a trainer, I can incorporate my love for hockey into it, or if maybe that was a plan from the beginning, like, never know, right?
No, it wasn't really a plan. It was really interesting. I was playing hockey, and I was working at Chrysler at the time, and Pat Hennessy was the head coach of the women's team, and she always playing goalie, and she needed help with her team, and she asked me if I wanted to help her out, and I said, sure, I'll come out and help with your goalies. I was clueless on coaching the aspect.
Okay.
You know, the high level.
Like in regards to the hockey. Like,
absolutely. I was clueless on what it takes to really do a high level goalie, but she could just see my passion, and the goalie felt the passion. So we just worked it out, and we ended up our first year, we had a CIS goalie of the year. So it was pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it was on paper, right? So obviously this guy's a good coach. Yeah. But I mean, like you said, like they just kind of go hand in hand, because no matter what you're teaching, coaching, kind of disciplining these clients almost, it's the same mentality, same approach, right?
Yeah, it is. It's what's really important as far as coaching goes and the personal training, you get to see what they don't see. Right. And a lot of people that go to the gym, and I see it all the time still, people go to the gym and they walk around the gym, and they just leave because they really don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. When all they need is a little guidance. And it's the same thing in goalie coaching. So when you really understand, I think I may have missed the mark and could have been a teacher. But like, who knows?
Yeah, absolutely.
But this for me is just so fulfilling, and I don't feel like I've missed anything out of life.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you've created a great life for yourself. And if you would have told me that you were a teacher, I would have totally believed it, because everything just goes hand in hand, right?
Right.
So you kind of talked about it yourself. I wanted to know how you kind of got started specifically in goalie coaching, and obviously connections are huge, especially in the sport industry and here in Windsor. So Lancers was your first goalie coaching ever?
First gig.
Wow.
Like, I mean, I worked with a few minor hockey kids, and
it was like on the personal training side.
No, just on the goalie side. But that was really interesting, because goalie coaching is a really lucrative business to some. I don't treat it that way. I'm not saving lives, so I just don't feel I can charge like that. So the first time I went out was Tecumseh Arena, and I could see the parents up there. They were not very happy at seeing me on the ice with their kids, and they came downstairs, and they were like, after the session was over, it was like, who are you? Do you know how much money I've spent on my kid on goalie coaching? And when your kid can't skate, I said, just give me a little time and I'll really show
you're going to work with them.
I'm going to help them, right? So it was really tough at first, and then you build trust in your clientele. And I don't advertise for my goalie coaching. I just word of mouth, and it just grew from there. And now it's it's hard to find time for myself.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's like you said, it's like a small pool. You know, there's only so many coaches and goalies, and there's only so many goalies in general. So there can be high demand for that. And one big topic now I'm hearing on a lot of things is the parents in hockey. You know, and I'm sure it's something to deal with. But I guess how do you deal with it? I guess, right?
So for me, I work mostly on building relationships. Mm-hmm. I think it's the only way to get through it. With a lot of parents, it's really hard for them to understand. I tell them straight out, like, sometimes the parent wants it more than the child does. Yeah. And if the kid doesn't want it, I've said to a parent, I said, I don't want you to spend your money on this child who really doesn't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So save your money. You guys can go home. It's all good. And I've done that a couple of times because I don't do it just to make money. I do it to develop goalies and to help. I mean, there's so many kids that don't really get mentoring, and I just feel that part of what I do is create better kids. Mm-hmm. So it's been a blast.
Yeah, you're not just trying to take their money. Like, there is obviously going to be, like, no matter what business we're talking about, there's going to be people that will just say, oh, you're going to sign up, sure, and if the person doesn't come back, then they got their money, right? So they don't care. But like you said, that's not what it's really about for you, right?
Right, exactly, because I live here. Yeah. I stay here. I have a reputation that I feel I've built, and I don't want to ruin that reputation by all of a sudden becoming all about the money. I just don't think that's ever a way to do it.
Like I said, it's something you're passionate about. So it's not, that's the goal, really, is to focus on bettering people, which is fantastic, really. Yeah. So I understand you have a long history with the Lancers, at least. So you're there for a long time.
Yeah, the Lancers since 99.
Yeah.
So that's been a long time. I've done both men's and women's teams. Mm-hmm. The hard part for me with the high-level goalies, because I never played pro, I never played junior. Mm-hmm. So how do you show them that you're dedicated? And that's where the Ironman came into play.
Okay.
Because I wanted to do something that would prove to my athletes that, he's dedicated, he's focused, and he's an athlete. So by taking on, I wanted something to do before I turned 50. So at 49, I signed up first. And I said, never did it before. And, you know, we get to the race, and it was really funny because people were like, oh, what's your marathon time? I was like, I don't know. I haven't done one yet. Right? So my first marathon was in an Ironman. And all I did was I got a book, tried to figure it out, and ended up in race day.
That's crazy.
And had a great time.
That's great. Is that in Detroit? Detroit
no,
Ironman,
this was in Panama City, Florida.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So you got to have a little experience, I guess, going out there, too.
Right. Again. It was a great experience. You know, I drive down to Florida. I drove down.
Yeah.
That way I'd have my vehicle with me and drive all over the place and train a little bit. Mm-hmm. Meet people. It was great.
Yeah, that's really cool. You've created a life around, I guess, your passion, you know what I mean? So like you said, like, being a trainer, I'm sure you're in the gym all the time. So when you decided to join in that Ironman, where is it like, okay, I've got to start training hard now? Or were you like, I'm kind of already, you know, decently in shape?
It was so different because it really has not much to do with the gym. It was all running, biking, and swimming. So, you know, I got a pool membership and was running already. And then I lucked out and through a business deal, I ended up with a decent bike. So then I upgraded that bike, and because you have to have a good bike to do an Ironman, as far as I'm concerned, because the ride is so long. It's 112 miles on the bike, so it's a day. So it was one of those things. I thought, I'm going to do it, and I did it. So
that's what it takes. I mean, if people, I'm in jiu-jitsu. People ask me I want to try MMA. I'm like, then just go. Like, that's what it takes, I think, anything when you're, like, thinking about doing something. Like, if you were, like, contemplating on that Ironman competition, you would probably have said, I should have just done it. I should have just – because when you sign up, then you're like, okay, now it's real, right? Like,
right.
Yeah.
And it's so expensive. It's so probably $1,000 now to sign up for an Ironman. So once you sign up, you've invested.
Yeah.
Like, you're absolutely right. The hardest part is that just
getting there.
Getting there.
Yeah. Right. That's if you do that, then – like, what else is stopping you, really, right? That's all it takes.
They're an opportunity.
Yeah, and so then you get the call from the Spitfires, I'm sure. Again, the connections, is that how it kind of came to be? That had to have been cool for you to end up there, you know?
Yeah, well, that's another interesting story because it's the second time I applied for that job.
Okay.
I actually applied in 2010. I was already working for their affiliate team, the LaSalle Vipers. Yeah, we had just won the Sutherland Cup, and I thought, here it is. Here's my opportunity to move up. And I read about it in the paper. Didn't get an interview, nothing. And I thought, all right, it just wasn't my time. And I was extremely bitter about that. But then I realized, it just wasn't your time. So when it came up again, I applied again. And then my interview with Trevor Letowski, I thought I nailed it. Mm-hmm. And ended up with the job. And it's been It's been awesome. It's been everything I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's a whole another realm that we could talk about with your coaching career, really. But again, timing is everything, man. Right. So that's a good like kind of example for people. You know, just keep trying. Like all you can do is put your name in the hat, right? And like you said, you got the resume, so you think like I can do all that. But don't let it get you down. You know, right. If you don't get it right away.
But that's life, though. Right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times in life you just the first time you try something, it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean give up on it. It means dig your heels in, put your nose into the grindstone and get at it.
If I gave up, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. This would have ended a long time ago. But, aside from, the long-term deals, I guess, actually, before we get to that, because you've been kind of on a year-to-year basis with the team, right? So, obviously, you must be enjoying it, and you're just kind of getting, if you're able to do it, renewing your contract. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it works. Because I'm not full-time, the head coach and the two assistant coaches are full-time. The goalie, I'm there every day, but it's different there.
Yeah, well, you're not there for 10 hours a day or whatever. Right,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So I go do my goalie thing and, try to make them better, and that's it. I only have two players to focus on where they have lots more.
Yeah, so, that's a good point.
Yeah, the day-to-day operations don't really involve me, so that's why I'm part-time.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect for you to do other things too, right? Absolutely. You're not only like personally training, you're with A21 as well?
A21, yeah. And before I took the Spitz job, I was actually doing a lot more travel. I was going down to New Zealand and Australia for the 5 years before I took the Spitz job. And that really gave me the confidence, because the first time I went down there, Hockey Canada sent me down, and I didn't know a soul down there.
It was
a perfect way to really know if, boy, is this what you really want to do with your life? And it was like, yeah, it is. So
that's cool.
It helped me, grow the confidence to be able to go anywhere now and coach any goalie, any age, any level, right? So, I mean, there is one more step, and I don't know if it'll ever happen, but if it does, I'll be ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, you came this far with what you have, right?
That's right.
Who knows? But that's perfect that you brought that up, because aside from all the long-term deals, like you said, with the Vipers and the Lancers and the Spits, I've done a lot of those cool, kind of one-off tournaments, that under 18s, under 17s, as you mentioned, representing Canada and then representing New Zealand. So I'm like, what? So how did I guess that kind of come to be? Again, as you mentioned, Hockey Canada kind of connected you down there?
Well, they had asked Hockey Canada for some goaltending development, and they wanted the goalie coach that did the Sochi Olympics. He's a friend of mine, and he actually recommended me for the job because he's got two little ones. I'm a retired Chrysler worker, so that's my main thing. But the coaching here, I just said, okay, I'm just going to shut things down. And I went down there, and it was awesome. It really was. The people down there are just so nice and so open-minded that first year I stayed in a hotel, and I never stayed in a hotel again after that. Just stayed at people's homes, so it was great.
That's really cool. Yeah, because I'm noticing on the hockey, not hockey at DB, Elite Prospects, it has Team Canada, New Zealand, so I'm like, holy crap, stuck around there for a while. That's pretty cool. And obviously, you've gained experience on all these different levels and kind of senses of the sport, so not only have you coached junior hockey and junior boys, but you coach CIS women's and stuff like that. Is that kind of something that you're prideful on, to be in a specific pool, helping women goalies and helping young goalies, stuff like that?
Absolutely. What's really interesting, they always knock the women's game, and it really surprises me, especially from the goalie aspect. It's like the net's the same size, the puck's the same size, and now these women can really shoot the puck, right? And the difference between the men's and women's game, they are different. In the women's game, you're allowed to go through the middle without getting your head taken off, right? So they're very skilled. So the goaltenders have to be even more patient than the men, because they can get to the more dangerous areas, right? So I find female goaltender, well, Shannon Zabot is a perfect example. She played in the SP, the Southern Pro League, for a few years, and her stats were remarkable. And, she's a woman, and she did great. So I was very proud of that.
And especially the CIS, U Sports, whatever, that level, like you alluded to, is just, it's fantastic, if you ask me. Women's, men's, doesn't matter. I went to see a couple games this year, and I'm just like, this is very, very good. What I mean? So I don't know. It's kind of a stigma, I guess, around the league where, you're playing, he's playing university now, he's playing college now, he sucks. It's like, no way. You're almost better. If, especially if you don't come from junior, if you can make it onto that team, it's like, holy.
And that's what people don't get. On the men's side, all of those players played major junior, at least. some of them are coming down from pro.
Yep.
When they go out east to play those teams, there's a lot of guys that, you know, cup of coffee in the ECHL, mm-hmm. AHL. Those are legit players. And it's unfortunate that the crowds aren't there, but they're missing out on some really good hockey.
And then in the women's aspect, they just don't have that level. You know, there's not like a junior like OHL for women, right? So they don't get exposed and stuff like that. But still, just when they all meet at that level, it's up there.
And again, it's marketing, it's media, it's money.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
If the money were invested in the women's game, because they do have a junior league, but it's not, you know, it's not as promoted as well as the OHL mm-hmm. or you know.
Yeah, it's not like the same caliber, right? And you would probably see it too, because obviously they play the NCAA divisions for like exhibition games, and going over there and being at the same level of competition. I mean, that kind of says it all, because the American NCAA aspect is huge, right? So there's the money, and people know that those are good college athletes. So to be you know, competitive with them says a lot, if you ask me.
It's really interesting how that's going too now, because before they used to cherish the Canadian athletes, Canadian hockey players, both men's and women's. Those windows are closing fast because the Americans have become so good at the game. They don't need us anymore.
The game's growing everywhere. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, and that's what I love about it. I've been fortunate enough to go all over the world and see kids are kids.
Yeah, you know, people are people, right?
Absolutely. Like everyone's they want to play hockey, they play hockey.
Mm-hmm. That's probably something that you never thought would happen, is being able to travel around the world through a sport, especially at the point where, you know, you weren't really playing a lot, right?
Right, yeah. During those times, I didn't have time to play at all. Mm-hmm. Like the best one for me, the best story I had was went to South Africa, to Cape Town, and the rink was actually inside a casino. So you had to go through casino security to go play hockey.
With your equipment and everything.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun, but boy, did they love it. They were all
over it. Big over there in New Zealand, obviously. But just Europe alone, it's huge.
Yeah.
So a little bit more specifically about yourself, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're essentially a trainer and a coach living this lifestyle, but a representative of USANA Health Science. So just kind of tell me a bit about that. What is it? What do you do? I know you offer some products through your website and training and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, USANA came into my life, kind of another big story. I have curable lung disease, so my voice is a little bit raspy.
Oh, okay.
I was diagnosed in 2001. Or sorry, 96 I got diagnosed, and I was at work, and a friend of mine was already in USANA, and he just looked at me and said, you got to try this stuff. It's because I had tried everything else, nothing was working, and it's an autoimmune issue, so I could sleep around the clock. And I started taking the USANA supplements, and within days, I felt remarkable, and I thought, too much money, because these products are... They're not cheap, but they are, and they can say it, they're the best vitamins in the world. And what they did for me, I will spend my last dime on these products. So I've decided to, I don't really promote them that much, I probably should, but when people hear their story, they're at least open-minded to try. Because I just find with people with vitamins, they go, you know, I don't need vitamins, I eat very healthy.
Yeah. Well,
the soil isn't what it used to be, so we need to supplement our diets with really good supplements to be as healthy as we can be. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking proof, because there's other members of my family that have the same disease and they're not here anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm still here, still doing well. Have the odd day, but most days are great.
Yeah, so it's been something personally beneficial to you that you would kind of want to market. I think it even says on the website, like, Perry doesn't try to like sell you on stuff that you don't need, you know what I mean? But I guess, like you said, it was a personal experience for you, so you know if it's going to benefit you, it's going to benefit someone with the same condition, right?
Well, there's a lot of athletes now that are on USANA, and they have an athlete's guarantee. They'll pay an athlete $1 million if they ever test positive for a banned substance.
Wow.
So that's where, you know, the quality is there, and the belief in the product, and they stand behind that product. So that's why it works for me.
Oh, that's pretty crazy. I wasn't expecting that either. So that's a cool story, man. And so again, just with yourself, I mean, you've been through some adversity, obviously physically and just in your career as a coach and stuff like that. And you're doing the Ironman it's not easy. So like, what keeps you going both like physically and mentally, I guess, it's your hobbies and, you know, driving, literally training.
I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, I was always told that you can't. And then I was told, you know, when are you going to stop playing? And my answer was always, yes, I can, and I'm never going to stop playing. So being around these young athletes keeps me young. Like, I keep saying every couple of years, going to be 60 soon. Time to hang them up. And then I go to the rink, and it's like, oh, God, I feel like I'm 20 when I'm watching these kids. Yeah. And, you know, to see them light up and to see them really move forward, because now a lot of my goalies started moving. They're young. They're now in the OHL. They're playing CIS. It's just youth sports now, but they're very, very – doing very well. Like, one of my goalies who, you know, they didn't think was going to be any good is now on University of Toronto, and she took them to the national championships as a rookie last year as a goaltender. So – you know, watching these kids grow up and do well, that's what keeps me young and keeps me going.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of alluding to. I mean, like I said, it's just your whole philosophy is to better people, and you're starting these goalies at a young age. And before we wrap it up now, just because, as you mentioned, all these people, Mikey DiPietro, like so many people you've probably helped and seen go on, that's probably got to be the most fulfilling thing about it, right?
Well, that is one special kid. Mikey is... His mother passed away when he was 5.
Mm-hmm. Actually, my dad used to work with his dad.
Oh, is that
so
right?
Kinda, so I don't really know him. And I played with his brother, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been around them from the beginning. I knew Victor long before Mikey was here.
Okay.
And, you know, it was really easy to get the trust of the family because Vic knew who I was. He knew what it was all about.
Yeah.
And with Mikey, like, he still comes back to me in the summertime. It's like, you could go to anybody you want. You're right there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he chooses to stay with people that he trusts. So I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I hear from him all the time. He's doing really well. He's in Vancouver right now, and he'll be back to Utica soon, and he's been tearing it up in that league, which is shocking for a rookie, but not so surprising for me because it's Mikey.
I think him is more of his worth ethic and adversity and stuff like that, because like you said, like he can go anywhere, but sometimes, agree with me if you do, using your realm to benefit you, you know what I mean? So like he could go elsewhere, but he knows you and he knows Windsor and he knows the rink here. So just kind of being comfortable, I guess is what I'm trying to say, right? It was really benefiting him in his training.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. He likes home cooking, I think.
Yeah.
He always got that big Italian appetite, so he eats well and he's got great people in his corner. And he just knows that we're just there. Like we don't tell him what to do. We don't tell him how to do it. He's so driven, and he's been told his whole life you're too small and you're not going to make it, and that's all he's done is make it and win and everywhere he goes. So I don't ever put reins on where that kid's going to go, but I try not to do that to anyone.
Yeah, well, that's not what it's really about, right? You don't want to put a cap on anyone or even the opposite of, like, this is where you should be, because then it becomes a big mental thing. I was even going to mention with Mikey, right? Like, he knows, like, people around him, right? So if he was training at a higher level but was under pressure from whoever it might be, it could just kind of get to you mentally and affect your physical ability, right?
Yeah, and it works well because he knows my whole background. Mm-hmm. He knows I'm nobody, and that all he's going to ever get from me is – the best I can do for him, and that's all he wants. He doesn't want guys that played pro and they're going to give you that pro attitude and all that, and it's like, no,
just benefit your game.
Absolutely.
Like, so again, you've made a great living off of a passion. So to kind of wrap it up, if you were just looking to, you know, train with somebody, or a team is looking to get a goalie trainer in, or whatever the case is, and how can we find you, and what would you kind of recommend to someone who's, you know, looking for that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I'm easy to find on the internet. It's just perrywilson.ca.
Yeah, that's how I found him.
Yeah, right. And for me, it's can we build a relationship first? Like, I had an interview with a family that wanted to try, and I said, you know, first I got to know that your kid wants to work with me, and then I got to know the parents understand what I'm doing, and then we want to work together. Because if it doesn't, like, it doesn't matter how good I am, it matters more, can we forge a relationship? Can we really do this together? Because it's never about just me and the goalie. It's the parents. It's the family. It's the whole dynamic for me. So there's always a bit of an interview. And if I go with a team, it's like, okay, I understand what you want. I'm just going to tell you, I don't really want anything. But if you want your goalies to be better, you should try to designate a little time if I'm there.
Okay.
Right? I don't need it all.
I got you.
But I need some time to be able to do what I do.
Yep.
Right? Can't do it just by a couple words here and there. That's not going to get it done.
Mm-hmm. And as we talked about with Mikey, that's a perfect example, right?
Right.
That's awesome, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to come out here. This is great.
Pleasure, man. This was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
And that's it, everybody. Perry Wilson on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMore. Thank you for listening. That was a great conversation. I was really glad to get him on. The Windsor Spitfires goalie coach, longtime goalie coach with the University of Windsor. Had a lot of fun chatting with him and even after. Thank you so much, Perry, for coming down. He was a very genuine guy and a lot of fun shooting the shit with him. So thank you again so much for coming down. Interesting story from a guy here that, of course, I knew of, didn't know a lot about him personally, and it's always good to hear it right from the horse's mouth, as I always say. It's, I can Google stuff and I can ask about people, but to hear it from them is what really counts, if you ask me. And that's why I like to do these conversations, and that's why I like to talk to Perry. So thank you again for taking the time to come down here, and we're going to wrap up the podcast just giving you some insight and upcoming events and stuff for our local sports news, and we're going to kick it off with our Windsor Spitfires, fittingly enough. Actually went to, it looks like, the last home game for the Windsor Spitfires when they took on Oshawa last Thursday, a week ago today, and we had head coach Trevor Letowski on the show, as I joked with him actually after the interview. Now with Trevor, Mike Weber, and Perry Wilson on the show, we have at least three out of four or five of the entire Windsor Spitfires coaching staff on this hockey season, pretty much. It's pretty cool. But that was quite the game, actually. It started off, Windsor was all over Oshawa, and then the third period, the Spits just crumbled. You can tell that they couldn't really bounce back, but Oshawa was just on fire. Something that wasn't happening in the first and second. I gotta admit, I left for the empty netter, I believe. It was 5-3 when I left. 3-1 at the beginning of the third, and every single one of their goals were fantastic. Oh my god, I don't even know what to say. But from there, they went on and they actually lost to Flint on Saturday night in OT. Two OT finals in a row, then beating Kitchener the following night on the road. And it looks like they're returning to action on Saturday night, and it's at home as well. They actually have a good little stretch of three home games over the next week or so. So we have Saturday, they'll be taking on the Erie Otters at 7:05 at the WFCU Center, and then following it up on Sunday at 2 p.m. for their afternoon game against the Saginaw Spirit, as obviously the some of the Michigan teams come to visit. And then it all kind of wraps up next Thursday, so they'll have a couple days off and welcome in the London Knights into the WFCU Center yet again, their rival. So that will be an interesting one. Watch out, I just smashed my desk there. Then from there, they go on the road for a little bit before coming home in early February. But speaking of London rivalries, we still have another rivalry with the London Lightning in the NBL of Canada, with our Windsor Express basketball team suffered another loss to the Lightning. It was a 99-91 final, pretty close game, and that evens out their record to 2-2 now. Coming up next for the Express, they're going to be on the road today in Kitchener-Waterloo, but back home tomorrow as they take on the Island Storm at 7 p.m. here in Windsor. Haven't seen too much with the Express. I don't really have a lot to get caught up with on my top of my head, I suppose. But yeah, come on out and enjoy some basketball tomorrow night if you're looking for something to do. As mentioned on previous podcasts, you can obviously listen to those. They're trying to move over to the Barn, and they need to get the numbers up there. They need to improve their numbers if that's going to happen, I think. It's a great product, great game, obviously, but the numbers just aren't there. So to bring them downtown and revitalize that old building for them, sure, that'd be great, and let's do something with the Barn. But what's the point if no one's going to go, right? I hate to say it, but just because they're going to go downtown doesn't mean that everyone's just going to start showing up all of a sudden. And you guys can always listen to the Wind City Sports radio show on today at 12:30 p.m. in Windsor and Detroit on 99.1 FM, because that is all this week on the Wind City Sports podcast. That's all I got for you. I'm going to save the Lancers roundup, Lancers look ahead and all that for the radio show. And we'll see you next week. My name is Drake DeMore. I'm here every Thursday with a brand new episode of the podcast and the radio show. As just mentioned, you can find us on windcitysports.com or anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts or iTunes. And give us a review or subscribe or follow or whatever it may be. Same for social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. So give us a like, follow, subscribe, or whatever it is. @WindCity_sports is our handle if you're trying to find us. And again, Wind City is all one word. And you can follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram, @DrakeDeMore. So until next week, smell you later.